Welcome to Grace Point. We're glad you're here this morning. Worshiping with us in person, also online. We're grateful that you have joined us. It is as the staff has shared a few times already, so we're thankful that you're here to be a part of that. And as the staff has shared, let me just encourage you, after this opportunity, to make your way out to the lobby. And there are a number of different tables out there, different ministry opportunities, some places that you can connect and you can serve. The Lord is maybe just want more information about a ministry, and you can talk to them about that. And then pray about the Lord is leading you to be involved in that ministry for you to connect Sunday. So it's a way, as you just heard, a way for you to connect and to grow the body. And we need you. We need you to be able to do that, to serve the number of people that are coming, that are worshiping here at Grace Point Church. All right, second, take that opportunity and spend some time out there. All right, second thing, as Pastor Jeff mentioned before, I jump into Colossians 3:16. But today, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. In just a moment, Colossians 3:16. But as Pastor Jeff mentioned, discipleship classes start this Wednesday here. Classes are in the lobby if you're coming to be a part of our class. Children's building there. So meeting, then if you have child care, you take them over to Julie in our children's building there. So there's, as he said, I just echo, there's a lot of fun for you to get to connect, a lot of new classes and some new leaders. One is a support group that we're ladies. This is a support group that is specifically for ladies. So just for ladies, and it's a support group that's going. And so this you are struggling with, anxiety, depression, maybe some other issues like that. And so this group led by Julie Hamilton, be a part of that. Remember here at Grace Point Church, she'll do a great job of leading this class, and I'm excited about it for you ladies to be a part of that. So if you'd like to come, maybe just come to the lobby. Maybe you want to come and ask questions. 6:15 in the lobby. Just come to the lobby and we'll point you in the right direction. And that code will give you all the class. In addition to that, number of other classes. Pick up that card as you leave today. Scan that code to give you all the classes that we're going to have here starting Wednesday night. We'll be meeting over in our youth building, and then of course, if you have childcare, our children will be meeting there. I know, some if you haven't done groups, been a part of it, even if you've been here for a while, it can be a little. Some get a little anxious and nervous about it, right? And so, let me just encourage you to push through that. Come. Once you park, then come into, find one of, and I'll be out there in the main lobby to greet you. Pastor Jeff will be out there, Pastor Guy will be out there. Find one of us, find me, which will be over at our, walk you personally to that class and get you connected there. Julie will be over at our children's building. She'll meet you over there. Nate will come provide an opportunity building, and he'll meet you there. So we want you to feel welcome. We want you to come provide an opportunity for you to grow and get connected in our small group too. This Wednesday and then next Sunday, we start our Sunday morning groups. A lot of opportunities for you to get connected here. Look at verse 6. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 16. We finish verse 15. Look at verse 16. You have only two takeaways today. I trick you. I have like 16 subpoints today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I just like to start in verse 15 through 17 because I kind of take it as a whole. But verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, thankful, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. It was last week. And be thankful. Now, verse 16. This is where we'll focus on today. Word of Christ dwell in you, so let in you, word of Christ, then dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then this is how, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual with thankfulness. There's that word again, talked about last week, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. To what? Hebrews 2:1. Pay much closer attention to what you have heard, lest we drift away from it. So I think Bible that we may already be paying attention, especially in our
from with all that tries to pull us away.
from God or from His Word. To what you have, church, we must pay much closer attention to what you have heard, talking about the Bible. Two takeaways, as I said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So takeaway number one, if you're taking notes, takeaway, there's two takeaways, as I said, there's a lot underneath this first one, though.
Amen.
Takeaway number one today. Takeaway number one, commit yourself, make that commitment to knowing, hearing, and word of Christ, the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in Christ. So when it's not the word of man, the word's the word of God, the word of Christ. So when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Spirit came down from heaven, not from earth. The writers were human agents moved by the Spirit within their own personality, spoken to what God had spoken to them. So when you open the Bible, I'm holding in my hands this word of God, what God has said, and what God says to us and to me in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Evangelicals believe, we believe, and the transistory believe that since the original writings of the Bible in Greek and Hebrew have been faithfully preserved, and the translation faithfully rendered, hold in our hands the very word of God. It is a breathtaking affirmation and able to read with credent reality. We hold in our hands and are able to read what the creator and ruler of the word verse wants us to know. The word of God to us. We don't want to go over that too fast. There's a couple things before we get in a little deeper. Important. So the idea, let, first of all, and I think that's important. So the idea, if you go back and you look up in Rule 18, remember we talked about this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart as though we may not. So allow it, the peace of Christ. Dwell in your hearts. And here he comes again with verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts. Allow it to happen. The implication is we can choose not to. So really, our choice, will we let the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts richly. And also, as I look at this, let the word of Christ, there's a, in a moment, but look at this next, in you. Okay, so there's a difference. It says in, among you and in you. It says in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, not among you. Among you would be me doing what I'm doing here today with you, is teaching. We need to put ourselves in. Among you. I mean, this is good. This is part of it. We need to put ourselves in situations where we're hearing the word of God on a podcast. Among you, where you are hearing me, or if you're in a small group or listening on a podcast or something, it's the word of Christ. You, as you being here today, you, and that's important. But here he says, let it dwell in you. The difference is among you, as you being here today, hearing me teach the word of dwelling in you. And I'm going to talk in you is, let's say today, of course, we're talking about the importance of the word of God dwelling in you. And I'm going to talk about the importance of reading the word of God and teach this morning, doing the word of God. And so among you is you hearing me talk and share and teach this morning. In you then, that's in you. And tomorrow morning, you open the Bible and you start to read. That's in you. Among you, gave himself unto you about what Ephesians 5 says about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That is going home and saying, word of Christ, dwell among you. In you is you leaving today, going home and saying to your wife, hey, let me take, you take some time this afternoon to yourself. That's in you. Not among you. Among you is good. But in you is radical. So the idea is the happening. in you. So the idea is that it's not just you coming in, but what your Sunday. That's among you, and that's good. But what Paul is saying, and for all of us and others, as you've heard in you. So in other words, something happens in you as you've heard the word of God, and now it is dwelling in you. And so I think the connotation is that it's influencing you. Because it's dwelling in you, that's that it's abounding in you, so therefore it's going to influence you. That's the difference between among you, two words, in you. And so when he says that there, there's power in those two words, in you. Let the word, so we don't read it, so we have to make that choice. The word of Christ dwell richly in God. So we must choose then to commit ourselves to knowing the word of God, to hearing among the word of God, reading the word of God. That leads us then to doing the word of God. And here's what's happening. Paul in Colossians is exalting, all throughout the Bible, we've talked about this, but in this context in Colossians, Paul is exalting Christ in the Colossians, in this letter to the Colossians. He's exalting Christ in Colossians to them in this letter. He's pointing to Christ. The regulations, false teachers came to Colossae with man-made traditions, religious rules and regulations, human philosophies, and what they were trying to do could not harmonize God's word with all of their teachings, but they could not succeed in doing that. Christ. Because God's word always magnifies Christ. And they gospel, no, it's not the way Paul preached it. So God's word always matters, changing. So it's not just me teaching and your behavior changing. This is a change with your modification through teaching the word of God. Does our behavior change when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? We understand the word of God. Yes, it does. But it happens when we understand that the word of Christ is always magnifying Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So my job then is to teach you the word. Time I teach Sunday morning in this context, let's say my job then is to teach you the word of God. Desire. As you leave here today, you have a greater desire to know him more, to walk in deeper ways with him, to desire him. Move more to open the word of God. And so through the teaching then, it moves you and pushes you his word in greater ways to Christ, to his word, to know him more. And you times, many times, that when you come in here on a Sunday morning and you worship and you sing and you hear the teaching and we do, I want you to say, man, do that when you leave here, I want you to say, we want you to say, man, isn't God amazing? Amen? It's not even about, man, church. Great church. Certainly want it to be, but that's not the main thing. Let's not forget. Because all that is God has done to magnify God. Scriptures in Colossians, and that's what, not the staff, not a pastor, not a person. And that's what the scriptures in Colossians, and that's what Paul, but you see what he did, because he knows when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because he knows as you do that, what, it points you to and magnifies Christ. And when that is then everything, when we have him as supremacy, right? When that is settled, then everything flows from that. And from that, focus is not on behavior modification and don't do. It's on Christ. And then from that flows this new life that we put on. Well, but in order for that to happen, we have to let the word of Christ dwell in us. Rich means to live. Look at the word dwell. That's another key word. It means to live in, what the word literally means. To live in or be at home. So Paul is saying, let the Bible take up residence in your life. Let it be at home. Live with you in your life. We should live in the Word of God like we live in our home. Just be so familiar with us, to us, just like your home is. When you go home, the TV is your house. You know exactly where the kitchen is. You know exactly where the TV is. You know exactly where the bedroom is. And he's saying, "Is you are familiar with it because you live there." And he's saying the same way, dwell. You are residing there, so you are familiar. You are abiding there. You are residing there. It's not just coming. I mean, I'm thankful that you're here. Don't ever get me wrong about that. I want you to worship. I want us to reach more with the gospel. But you know, it goes to last you morning. No teacher is going to give you enough teaching to last you a week. You must, this is for the day and for the hour. But then you must choose in you. It's in you. It's dwelling you richly and go beyond what you hear. It's not just among you. It's in you. And then as you leave and you continue and you, we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. A person who dwells in there, resides there. That's the idea of dwelling. Let it be, make that familiar with it. And then he says, richly, which pertains to that, the idea is in big way. If you do that in large amounts, in abundance, right? Because if you do that, then it's going to make today dramatically impact your life, the choices you make today and tomorrow. Throw open the doors. Rick Renner, writer, said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Throw open the doors, roll out the red carpet, and give it a grand reception. If Spirit dwell in you this way, it will produce an amazing amount of spiritual wealth in reading the Bible. Life. How much time, by the way, did you spend reading the Bible this week? Morning. Historical. Other than this morning or last Sunday. Influenced by that, how much? We cannot be profoundly influenced by that which we do not know. Past day. And so if we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, that moves us past a Sunday morning thing. This is my vision of Christ. A good rule for Christian living is this. Anything that dims my vision of Christ or turn taste for Bible study or hinders my prayer life, I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. Or takes anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my desire for I must Bible study, the Word of God, or hinders my prayer life, I must, as a believer, turn away, dwell in a tree. We must let the word of Christ dwell in it richly. So why then must six? I'm going to give you, and we'll go fairly quickly on this. I'm going to give you, and there's plenty more, six reasons. We could, you know, the and you have many more than this, but just to get us thinking, you know, the blessing, the benefit, the reason. Richly because it Christ dwell in us richly. Number one, the word of God must dwell in us richly because it leads us to eternal life. The word of God, life in Jesus, in Christ. It leads us to eternal life. The word of God does. John chapter 3, verse, perish but have. First, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we that then, and that another written word, the truth of God's word with others that then, and that in other verses, that lead people, maybe you did, to salvation. And although many people come to Christ, maybe you did, by hearing about him from a friend, in way of salvation is clearly revealed in God's words. I would hope what you heard from someone else, I would hope, would be the gospel. The written word of God as they share the gospel with you. So that's where the word of the Bible passage, especially if you're going to tell other people about Christ, you need to know the Bible passages that speak of the gospel. This. So you can then share the gospel and you lead people. Now let's be clear about this. You and I, say people, save anybody. Amen? We don't do that. I don't save people. You don't save people through the Spirit of God. God is the one who draws people unto salvation through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. God does that. I don't save people. We share. What do we share? We share the Word of God. And we share it's dwelling in us richly. And we share that gospel message, that written gospel message. And then God draws people. And God saves people. The word of Christ dwell in us richly. This is why, first and foremost, we must let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Because it is and that God, that people come to know the gospel and that who Jesus is and that they can be saved. Because it sustains us. So that's first and foremost. Second, the word of God must dwell in us richly because it sustains us in life. You will have valleys, difficult you are having right now. Dark valleys, deep valleys, difficult days, the week ahead makes you and so anxious through the day, or it may be financial, relational, whatever it may be. And so the word of God must dwell in us richly. It sustains us. It gets us through those hard times. Psalm 55, verse 20. Let the righteous on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to. God's moved. So in our time of struggle, and every day, God sustains us. Matthew 4:4. Jesus from, not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth. Why we get so tired? Because we're no longer depending on God. That's why you're so tired. You're just depending on yourself and the world and the. And that's why you're Psalm 55 and others. God's word is intended, one of the, is to, Psalm 55 and others, to sustain you. When your fears about. You hope when you read it, it encourages you. When you read it, helps calm your fears about tomorrow. When you read it, it helps in life. This is number three. The word of God must dwell in us richly because it guides us, gives us direction in life. This is the way we walk in it. Isaiah, the primary know the word of God, to know the way, to hear God speak to us through the primary way that God speaks to, period. First, his will always be his word. Period. First and foremost, the primary way the Word of God speaks to you about His will for your life and in your life is through the Bible and through the Word of God. So He guides us. 119, verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And as we read the belief too, as we face, shows a certain way, the right way to walk. And then I believe too, as we face big decisions, there's another, might not be so clear. Not a moral black and white decision, but just another, you know, the job. I believe he speaks, what do I do here, right? And we look to God and his word, and I believe he speaks to us through his word. He forms our life, guides us, he gives us direction. Number four, the word of God must dwell in us richly because it transforms our life. So this is the power of to transform our life. So a key verse, and I don't have time to dwell. Verse 12, but a verse that many of you heard many times is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which says, for the word of God is living, division of soul, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning so and intentions of the word. So he speaks to, form us, to the power of God's word, to transform us, to correct us, thinking to give us rest, to give us rest, the context here, to give us rest in Jesus. God, every. So it's great when you open the Word of God every single time. There's great burden and potential there. If you let the Word of Christ dwell in your life to transform your life. Number five, spiritually, because it gives us hope in all situations and all things. But the scriptures, but in Romans chapter 15, verse, and Paul gives us really an astonishing assessment of the Old Testament in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Listen to what he says. He says, whatever was written through endurance, and I think he's speaking of the Old Testament, whatever was written in former days was written that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope through the scripture. Situations. This is why the word of Christ must dwell in us richly. You will face situations in your life, and some of you are there where you feel hopeless based on how you see things. Word of God, as we begin to, as it dwells in us, as we read the Word of God, it restores our hope. That's what the Bible covered to cover. And there are a thousand ways that God's designed to give us hope. Everything written in this book, from cover to cover, is written to give God missing out hope in Him. So you're missing out on the hope that He wants to give to let the world struggle today. When you do not choose to let the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. And then number six, the word of God must dwell in us richly because it enables us to defeat warfare, the devil, to win in spiritual warfare. He is certainly say powerful than God and us in Christ. He cannot stand, Satan cannot stand before, John said, because of God, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I write to young men, John said, because you are strong, same thing, and the word of God abides in you, dwells, same thing, the evil one, and you have overcome the evil one. So when you are faith, Satan comes along to spiritual warfare, the answer to that, when Satan comes along, and he begins to, against you, he begins to attack you. When he begins to accuse you, when he begins to speak against you, you're not worthy. You're things he comes against. You're not needed. You're not seen. You're not loved. You're not valuable. All these things he comes against us. The answer to that, try harder. That just leads you deeper. The answer to that is let the word, here. This is the answer. It is let the word of Christ in you have richly. The word of God abides in you and you have overcome. You know, the evil one. This is how we are victorious. Ephesians 6 and the others of how we are victorious in spiritual. The fight of sins. I'm telling you, so many Christians are fighting the fight of spiritual warfare. Single. The Bible. And losing every single time. We want to be. We must let the word of Christ dwell richly in us if we want to be victorious. And how does it dwell in my heart? Ephesians 6 talks a great deal about that. Okay, take one number two. The last one is, then how does it dwell in my heart? How does it work? Teach that work. And I think that's the last part where he says, teaching and admonishing how it's Christ dwelling in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So that's how it's going to dwell in your heart, through the hymns and spirituals, and it's in you. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and I think all of those in Colossians do exactly what Colossians and what Paul is doing in Colossians, and that is he's magnifying the and he's pointing to him. All of these things, the theology and with and spirits, these hymns and psalms, right? And spiritual songs in your heart, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. The word of Christ dwelling, teaching and admonishing. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means we have a choice. So we own life, the choice to put ourselves in situations and to have that spiritual discipline in our own life, that we're opening the Bible about quiet times or reading the Bible, we're reading God's word. Certainly in our own time, you know, this we talk about quiet times or God times or whatever you're that where you come to the Bible in the mornings or lunch, whatever you have drawn up for you. But we talked about small. That is a step in letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But also, like we talked about small groups. This is another way. Be engaging. We must let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Like that we must be engaging. We must let. Now, if you have that choice to do that. Now, if you have, let me just get real out there about opportunity. We finish today and you go out to the lobby and I hope talk to some of the staff out there about opportunities to get connected. Act, and you may already have a way that you daily connect and let the word of God dwell. Let me in you. Right? And if you do and you're doing that, then just keep doing what you're doing, man. Don't let me derail you in any way or if you will, just path. But if you're not, there's two things, two books, if you will, just real practical to get started. Okay, now I'm talking especially to those who may not even be doing anything right now. Okay, if you're not doing anything. And look, there's no judgment in that. Encourage judging people for what they do and don't do in their spiritual journey. I want to encourage. I want to help in your life. Know the dramatic transformational difference this will make in your life if you will have the discipline. Let the word of Christ dwell in you fully. Secondary way, then there's, and so it's biblical first and foremost. So that's first. And then secondary way, then there's is my experience. Maybe you aren't doing it for you. So two things I would say. First of all, to the men, maybe you aren't doing anything at this point. And it's judgment. I want to help you get started down that path. So one of the ways I would encourage by men. So it's not this book right here. You can see it on the screen. I have it right here. It's 365 Devotions for Men by Men. So it's not one author. Here's the beauty. It's written by a different writer and a different author. It's small. Here's the beauty of it. Like, for instance, even June 1st, it's like one page. Okay, even Pastor Dave can read that quickly. Starting point. It's not overwhelming. I like that. Again, it's a starting point. I'm not saying you stay here the rest of your life. But if you're not doing anything, start somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Start somewhere, man. You don't have to start in a place. Somewhere. We all got to start somewhere. Right? It's not, you don't have to start in a place where you're doing her. You don't have to. All the Bible studying, the things that as pastors we do or I have to do for teaching. You don't have to start somewhere. Keep it in the console, this little book right here. And the reason I like this thing is it's small. I keep it in my truck. I keep it in the console. And when I'm sitting on I-35, I move from the flesh to the hours. I get the whole book done. And then I can move from the flesh to the spirit by taking out there. Book, or if I'm at a doctor's office or something, and it's just right there. And sometimes I may read that one too. I find myself today, because it's easy to read. And I find myself sitting at times, and if I have some extra time, if you are that with me, it's very, this is a step, again. If you aren't doing anything, and you look up, you can get it on Amazon, it's be here tomorrow, I think, if you order today. And you look up the day, and you just read that one, you start with the top, and you read that devotional thought. See, and you start the discipline. We have to start somewhere. So if you're abandon that, I encourage you to do that. Again, if you are, keep going on what you're doing. You have something set. I'm not saying abandon that and come for this. I'm not saying this is better. And starting point. My heart as your pastor, men, is to get you started and making sure the word of where you're at in you richly. And then for all of us, men, women, wherever you're at in your journey, this is that I would recommend if you're looking, hey, I don't have anything, or I need a little guidance. This is New Morning Mercies by Himes, and an author I read. A lot of you hear me read his stuff from the platform many times. And this one, same way, it's broke. And it's got, I like the simplicity of these things when I'm doing daily devotional stuff. It's got the title at the top, and it's got that page. The thing about Paul's prayer at the end, I like, he goes deep fast. He goes deep fast. And then he comes up for air at the end. I like that. And he says, this is what makes me so fine. This is what, how it applies. This is how it impacts me. So find that. Ask us. And that's my email. Comes straight to Dave@gracepointdenton.com. PastorDave@gracepointdenton.com. That's my email. Comes straight to me. Doesn't go through the office. You need some help. That's my call. You need more suggestions. You need ideas. You need some help. Hey, help me get started. That's what I do. That's my calling, is to help you get dwell in you rich. The discipline that the word of Christ will dwell in you richly. Richly happens in you richly. Look, when that happens, when that begins to happen, about that, then Colossians 3, when we talk about the new life, we were talking about that, then we start to see that in our life happen. In our life. And then as we, even with open the Bible, as you start to read, you know, and I'm a big, you know, even with this, a lot of times I'll have my Bible to read the scripture at the time. Just be open in the Bible. And I don't know if you got it on your phone, you can do that too, but open the Bible to read the scripture at the top that he's speaking about. And then dwell in my hand. I have that thing in my hand. Reading the Bible, I'm letting it dwell in me. The letters of Paul, power there. When you read and study the letters of Paul, that most every letter he writes, in some form or fashion, he says, grace be to you. Grace, at the beginning of the letter, some way he works in there, grace be to you in some form. And at the end, in some form, he will be grace be with you. Wow. So I picked up, I saw that pattern. I thought, man, that's a while back. I saw the word of God. And here's why I think he does that. At the beginning of the letter, the word of God, what you're reading, let it dwell richly. At the beginning, he is saying that letter that we are about to read is being read. He is saying grace to you right now through the scriptures, through this reading. Grace is coming to you right now as you read it. When you open the word to you in this letter, you're about to read. So when you open, that's the power of the Bible. When you open the word of God and you begin to read that, grace to you. Those words, grace is coming to you. That's why he says that. Grace to you. Oh, man. Then at the end, he sees us with the word and going out into the world. And so he says, grace go with you. Be with you. Grace go with you. In you. That's the word of Christ dwelling richly in you, not among you. 16, let the word in you. Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell. Thank you for your word in you richly. Let's pray. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, a deeper, sharper than any two-edged sword, I pray, as you will press into our hearts, God, a deeper desire, a longing to know you and greater more, that as we leave today, we have a greater desire to know you in greater ways, God, to be drawn and to know you more, to let the word of your word dwell. Thank you, Father, for you in us richly. So thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness, your word. And I pray that we choose to let your word dwell. dwelt song. We respond now, Father, with song, with singing, pointing everywhere. We're thankful in Jan, Lord, as we sing, pointing to your greatness today. And we're thankful in Jesus' name.